I've been sitting here thinking all of this time, all of these years in Chattanooga. I came here in 1942, November, and one building and a few people, and I wonder what could be done. I've seen miracles happen, many, many things happen, marvelous things, but I believe of all of them, I believe the greatest in my thinking is BIMI. I'll be honest with you. I watched Tennessee Temple go along from nothing to become a great school. I watched Camp Joy begin, death of our baby Joy. That's just 3 miles from here. I thought of all of the things that have happened. When you live so long, you've been around so much, you think of a lot of things, you see a lot of things. But I believe that this is one of the greatest works in all of the nation today. Thank God for you. Tom, thank you. I remember the first time we talked about it. Remember way back there? This got on your heart. Then I owned up to your coming. And this has been a marvelous, marvelous thing. And tonight, I've been sitting here just thinking and praying and rejoicing in what you're doing. Praise God for all of you and for the great, great ministry that God's given you. Open your Bibles, please, if you will, to Matthew chapter 9. I want to impress upon your hearts and minds one single word. Tonight, the word is compassion. I don't want you to miss it. All the way through, I want you to hear that word compassion, compassion, compassion. I want you to think about it. I try to think, Dr. Sisk, it might be a street we can name, a road, Compassion Avenue. Huh? Compassion Avenue. Have a sign out here somewhere, an Indian mission, Compassion Avenue. Compassion Street, Compassion Lane, but the word compassion. Look at your Bible now, if you will, in Matthew 9, verse 36. But when he was all the multitude, he moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, were scattered about as sheep, having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I've thought of many verses on this word compassion. Lamentation 3:20, as though the Lord's mercy were not consumed because his compassions fail not. I thought of the beautiful verse in Luke 19:41, when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. The word compassion, compassion, compassion. One single word explains why we're here tonight. That's the word compassion. Now, isn't that strange? That is strange. One word explains it all. The compassion of God, for God so loved the world. The compassion of Christ, he so loved as he gave himself for us. The compassion of someone who told you about Christ. I keep preaching this everywhere. I've had no one to dispute my word. Not a one of you can rise up and say that you've got to save it yourself. Isn't that strange? In every case, somebody spoke to you, somebody gave you something, somebody read to you, in every case. That's an amazing thing. Someone had to have compassion, and you're the result of it. Amen. And we're here tonight. A compassion. One word explains this great mission. Compassion for a lost, dying world. The reading about J. Hudson Taylor going to China for the first time when the boat took him down the river. He saw thousands of people in town after town, and he wept. He cried. Then came the great work of mission he did. That matter of caring, caring, caring. A man walked down Market Street in Chattanooga, stepped off the sidewalk. Two men jumped on him and beat him to the ground and robbed him. 10 feet from the sidewalk, Market Street. He cried for help. He cried for help. No one came. No one came. They beat him. They robbed him of his money, 90-some-odd dollars. They beat his face, kicked his body, walked over him, everything. And he cried for help. No one came. Until the policeman came by and saw him, took him on to Erlanger Hospital. I went to see him. I walked in the room and I looked at him. His face had bruised. And he was suffering quite a bit then. I said, "Sir, tell me what happened." He told me the story. He told it all. When he came to the end of it, he said, "Brother Robertson, what's wrong with the world? What's wrong with the world? I can tell you what's wrong. People don't care. People do not care. In this world today, they don't care. And that's the reason for a mission like this. Somebody's got to care. We've got to follow our Lord and care for others.
Amen.
That's what you're doing. And praise God. And we must care. We must care. I thought about the church where I passed in the past. And Brother Bowler, you know how you go back over it sometime? I thought of the old church in Germantown, Tennessee. A little church, paid me $50 a month. More than I was worth. And no joking. But nobody seemed to care. They hadn't had a soul saved in years. No one baptized in many, many years. No one seemed to care. I came to the little church up at Greenbrier, Tennessee, and spent 3 years up there, living in the back room of the church building. Never saw a bathroom. Carried water from a mile away. But nobody seemed to care much. And we had people saved. But I was preaching and witnessing and giving invitations and working night and day. I can't recall anybody else getting excited about it. I came to Highland Park in 1942, and they were sitting there, 100 or so in Sunday school, one building, and nobody excited about the matter. They were rather at ease, and they expressed themselves that way. They were nice, very nice, and they called me, and I went, felt led of God. But I've come to this simple thing. Down back of all of it, the one simple thing that spells the difference is the word compassion.
Amen.
I want you to pray about it for yourself. I'm praying it from my heart. I've got to care. No man must look at me and say, no man cared for my soul. I've got to care. We've got to care.
Amen.
And that, I believe, is the very secret of all you're doing here in this place, in this great mission, this location. This man knows as well as anybody in the world that this building doesn't make BIMI great. And the beautiful location doesn't do a thing unless God is in it.
Amen.
Unless we have the compassion and concern for soul. We've got to care. We've got to love people half to death. The rich, the poor, the high, the low, the clean, the dirty, all of them.
Amen.
Every one of them. We've got to. Number one, compassion is understanding the need of man. Number one, man is a lost sinner. Man is condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, John 3:18. All we like sheep have come short of the glory of God. We sin, come short of the glory of God. Lost. All men lost. Japanese, Chinese, German, Russian, American, all of them without Christ. Lost. Lost. And we've got to see that word lost, and lost means hell. Eternal separation, suffering forever and forever. On the part of men, women, and children who know not Christ. That's hard for people to see. New York City, There's millions. Chicago, Tokyo, all of them, take it all, anywhere. And you think of all the millions without Christ. And the result of the lost condition in this world, hatred between people in this time, bloodshed, war, Bosnia, all of it, immorality. One half of all the babies are born in single home with one parent, no husband, no father. Half of them today. Think of that. In America. World in this. Hollywood everywhere. Television puts Hollywood right in the room now. And on you go. Now we've got to see the compassion. Have compassion. And understand the need of man. The great need of man. Man is lost. And we've got to see that. One of my deacons is up in Canada. Walking out of the street, Main Street in town, saw a man leaning up against a bank building, walked over to him, and said, "Sir, my name is," gave his name, and introduced himself. He said, "Just walking by, I'd like to ask if you're a Christian." So I said, "I don't know anything about that. I'm a church member, but don't know anything about being a Christian." And my man said, "Well, let me tell you about it. One of my deacons, our deacons." And he began telling my fellow, wait a minute, I don't have time for that. He said, "Give me a card, I may call you someday." And my deacon couldn't do a thing, take out a business card, give it to him, the man walked away. 2 weeks later, the man called up. He called up and said, "I want to hear more about it. I live up here in Vermont," wherever it was, somewhere northeast. And he said, "I'm coming to Chattanooga to bring a wife, and I want you to tell us about it." He flew to Chattanooga, this man, his wife, got off the plane, and my deacon met him at the airport. Took him to his home In 30 minutes, we were both saved. The man was a multimillionaire. He sent his daughter to Tennessee Temple. He sent others there, gave money. Dr. knows the story. Now, wait a minute. The whole thing goes back to compassion. My man walking down the street in Toronto, Canada, had to have enough compassion to speak to a man, a stranger, on the sidewalk and say, "You need Christ." Amen. And after 2 weeks, a man calls up from his home in Boston and says, "I wanted to hear more. I'm coming down." And God saved his soul and his wife and maybe thousands more through his efforts. My second thought, compassion, is remembering what God has done for you. Are you saved? What a miracle.
Amen.
Don't get away from that.
Amen.
Man alive, think of being saved. Amen. Think of being born again.
Amen.
I was 14 years old, Louisville, Kentucky, sophomore in high school. Unsaved, didn't know a thing about it in the world. Mother and father never went inside of the church. They knew nothing about it. I knew nothing about it. But a boy took me to Sunday school, Claude Martin, still living today. He's 92. I'm 85. He's still living. And took me to Sunday school. And a little teacher told me about Christ and told me I was lost and needed to be saved. And I listened to her. And God saved my soul. Now, wait a minute. Compassion is remembering what God has done for you. You're a child of God through faith in Christ. With you, the greatest miracle of all time has been performed in the saving of your soul. You are an eternal being. Heaven is your home. Now remember this. Remember this and tell other people about it. Just keep on saying it over and over again. Keep on saying. Don't try to be profound. Don't try to be smart. I got a long time I got away from this business. Not a bit of sense carrying the Greek grammar up in your pulpit to read from. That doesn't get sinners saved. I'm sorry. It sounds good and it's smart. It is smart. And I had 3 years of Greek in the seminary, so I know a little about it. But they don't get saved on that. There had to be something more than that. We have to come down the old-fashioned way of telling people
Amen.
About the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And then when we have it, to give it out to other people around us and have compassion. I never forget the old fellow got saved, Brother Faulkner, one Sunday morning in Chattanooga. We used to have many of them coming down from the mission, you know. And that old boy got saved. Man alive. I went down and talked to him for a moment, and he was dirty. He smelled wrong, and everything about him was wrong. Long hair, long beard, dirt all over him. And lo and behold, he said, "Yes, sir, I'll take Christ as my Savior," and grabbed my hand and said, "I know I'm saved." And I said, "Praise God." And I walked back in the pulpit. And as soon as I got back in the pulpit, I looked around there, stood the fellow stood me up on the pulpit stand. I mean, all up in front of the whole crowd, whole big auditorium, just Sunday morning. That fellow stand up really crying, just crying away. You know what he said to me? He came over and punched me in the side. He said, "Preacher, get out of the way. I can tell them better than you can." Wait a minute. He felt that in his heart. I can tell them better than you can. He just got saved. Now, that's the thing that God wants. Number three, compassion is comprehending the love of Christ for a lost world. Compassion is comprehending the love of Christ for a lost world. Seek Christ talking to a sinful woman. Seek Christ talking to Zacchaeus and leading him to the Lord. Seek Christ dealing with a poor sinner on the cross. Today, I should be with me in paradise. God so loved a miserable, lost world. Now, we've got to see that compassion is comprehending the love of Christ for lost and dying mankind. A filthy, dirty world. And my dear friend, it's getting worse all of the time. Vulgarity is a common thing today. It's on every side. And we've got to be concerned for people. We've got to love folks. And to say that, I think of old Dr. George Truett. I knew him personally. I've eaten meals with him. I've talked to him personally. Famous, famous preacher. Pastor of the First Baptist in Dallas for 45 years. Post-millennial. I mean, he was here. He's free now. But I know him. I know him so well. And I've sat by his side. You can't believe it. He never smiled in the pulpit. Not in 45 years. He killed a friend of his accidentally. And never smiled again. I did her in the home of Paladin James, Mr. Paladin James, his daughter. I asked her point blank. I said, "Does your father ever laugh?" She said, "Never." She said, "Occasionally at the table he will smile when something funny is said, but I've never heard him laugh. He's never smiled in the pulpit in 45 years. Now, that's hard to believe, but that's true. He never smiled, and yet he was smooth and even and sweet-spirited and a preacher of great power. And I've heard him many, many times. Wait a minute. Truett, the big man, up 45 years in one church, became ill. They put him in the hospital in Dallas, and he was seriously ill. Big man, so white-haired. One night, a nurse came to check his room as she made her rounds, knocked on the door slightly, stepped inside, and the famous George W. Truett was standing in the window with his arms outstretched, crying, and praying for the lost people of Dallas, Texas. He had been there 40 years in that one spot. And she heard him as he cried and prayed, oh God, save the people, as he looked out his window over that big, big city. Now, my dear friend, we have to have the same attitude, the same love. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. I'm going to see the lost world. I'm going to see people lost and going to hell. I'm going to see that Christ is the only hope for them at all. And though they may be despicable and mean and dirty, and though everything may be wrong, they need Christ, and they need my message, and the message of the I Am I. And that's around the world, everywhere. And you're going to give it. And that's compassion. That's compassion. We must have it. A vicious, dirty world we live in today. Illustrated the other day, but something happened when I was sitting in the airport in Kansas City. And a man sitting there beside me reading the newspaper, waiting for my plane at 2 o'clock in the morning. Bring me back to Atlanta. And he finished reading, threw the paper down. And when he was gone, I picked it up, didn't have anything to do, and began looking. I saw what he'd been reading right on page one. He'd folded the paper over. He told about a woman, a mother, sitting at home in Kansas City, showing a little son, 4 years old, how to make his ABCs. And the paper told the story about the mother making the ABCs and the little boy trying to make them, and he failed. And the father walked in, looked down, and saw what happened, said, "Mother, let me show him how." And she got up, and the father sat down and took the pencil and said, "Son, here's how you make your ABCs. Now, I'll make them. Now, you make them, boy, like your daddy makes them." And the boy tried and failed. He did it twice, and the boy failed both times. And when he failed the second time, the father stood up from his chair, reached down, got his boy with the arms, raised him up high in the air, threw him on the floor, tramped on his body with his feet, crushed his bold little body, and the newspaper wound the story up as saying, "The boy's in the hospital unconscious, and the father behind the bars of a county jail."
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. The story's an awful one. That's just a true from the front page of the paper. But, my dear friend, this world is in a sinful, awful condition.
That's right, yes.
And the great need is for compassion. And that mark and that name should be written over everything here around this great mission, the word compassion.
Amen.
The money. You know, you don't mind giving money. I don't mind. I'm glad you said what you said tonight. I had my part, my wife had her part in that. We love it. Wait a minute. I'm for anything that does something to help people.
Amen.
Anything that helps people to get saved.
Amen.
To get saved. I want to be part of that.
Amen.
I'm not going to give to everything come along, because I don't believe in everything, but I believe in something that's worthwhile from the Word of God and the lost man, and pointing people to the Lamb of God. And this is need. Yeah, number four, compassion is an awareness of judgment. Compassion is an awareness of judgment. Hebrews 9:27. "And it is appointed men once to die, but after this the judgment. Man without Christ is lost. He that believeth is condemned already." Condemned. And compassion is an awareness of judgment. The lost man condemned now. He's coming to the great white throne and condemned forever and forever. Now, that brings the fact of hell. Jesus pulled back the curtain, Luke 16. So there it is. And let you see the picture of the man in hell lifting up his eyes, being in torment. And Matthew 25:46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, and he that believeth not is condemned already." The lost condemned. Now, you've got to keep that before you. the people that to whom you're witnessing are lost and condemned without Christ. Condemned. And we've got to have an awareness of judgment and awareness of the awfulness of hell that's ahead of them. Now watch, keep your compassion. Don't let formality steal away from you. Don't let pride take away your compassion. Don't let bigness get into your heart and mind. Until you're too big to talk to a poor lost sinner. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. I go to meetings. I'm doing it all the time. Just came out of Louisiana. Saw a number of people saved. But I get worried about something. They get saved, and almost there's almost no rejoicing at all.
Amen.
You know how we used to do, Doc? I would have people come shake hands in the front yard with people. And when somebody gets saved, don't do much of it now. And sometimes they almost omit it altogether. They'll say, well, Johnny came today and accepted Christ at Ball to save. Well, my dear friend, that's the greatest miracle in the world.
Yeah.
And nothing like that. And we should be rejoicing in all of it. And compassion should make us aware of the lost condition of man and a desire to see people saved. Remember the old story? Robert Murray McShane, that great preacher, died so young, went to Israel, made a trip in Israel, came back home and changed his whole life and then died about 32 or 33 years of age, a very young man. Robert Murray McShane. Remember the story? About a man going in and saying to one of the people in the church, he said, tell me something about Robert Murray McShane. Tell me about him. I've read about him, heard about him. Tell me how he did. And the old janitor of the building took him up the pulpit and opened up the Bible. And he said, this is Robert Murray McShane. And he bent over and put his face in the Bible and began to cry like a baby. He said, this is the way it was. He read and preached the word and cried over sinners. This is Robert Murray McShane. And now, dear friend, we need more of that today, that compassion. Let me hasten to the last thought. Compassion is a stirring of a Christian to witness. Compassion is a stirring of a Christian to witness. But ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. A witness is one tells what he knows. And you're to be witnessing. We need a compelling compassion driven to it by the Bible truth. We need a steady compassion, unchanging. Look at it. Jesus saw Jerusalem and wept over Jerusalem. And we've got to weep over the lost world. Read the words of Paul in Romans 9, 1, 2, and 3. Great, mighty words. Read Acts 16 and Paul and Silas in jail, concern for sinners, and preaching, and giving it all the time. And this is my forethought, compassion is stirring of the Christian to witness, to tell the story of Jesus. You'll never know what one little word can do. You'll never know what your quiet little testimony may do for a man or a woman or a child. You'll never know. And I heard the students come tonight and mention the word Tennessee Temple when they walk by. Many of these fine missionaries, and praise God for all of you. That makes life worthwhile.
Amen.
And I think about it. And their salvation, my salvation came with a little Sunday school teacher who told the story of Jesus. And I got saved, born again.
Amen.
But I brought to Sunday school by a boy, country boy, in an old T-model Ford car. Well, no, but God uses everything. Now, use everything in the world. I'm preaching out in Houston, Texas, in a very fine, beautiful church. And I got up in the pulpit to preach. And back there, right about three-fourths of the way back, sat a man right in the middle of the house. Great big fella with a big red cap on his head. And I'm old-fashioned. I think when a man goes to the house, he'll take his hat off.
Amen.
I don't care what they do. I don't care if they wear the cap on backward like these nuts do now. I put it on. That guy had a big red cap on his head. You know what I'd do in Chattanooga? If I'd been in Highland Park, I'd been over there and said, take your hat off, bud. You're in church.
Amen.
I looked at that guy. He was too big. I saw that right now. And I said, this is no time to make a fool of myself. And that man was, big, big. And I got up and preached. That man said, listen. Arms up like this, big cap on his head, red bill on, looked at me, about three-fourths of the way back. I gave an invitation. God bless his soul, we're saved. And I said, I'm going to speak to that man. I walked back to him and I said, son, are you a Christian? He looked at me and said, preacher, I don't know a thing about it. I said, would you like to be saved? He said, yes, I would.
Amen.
I said, come on. He came out of there and started the Viola, reached up, took that cap off, threw him a pin. I got rid of that thing right away. He never said a word. He didn't say a word. I said, kneel down the front. Kneel down the front. I took him a Bible, led him to the Lord. That great big rough character saved, born again, born again. When I stepped back in the pulpit to preach, to finish the service and close it out, he got up in the front seat, wiping the tears away, and walked up on the platform and stood before the audience. And I better tell the rest of it now. He had on the shortest shorts I've ever seen. I mean, he was half naked. And that great big old red cap and a red shirt on there, and that was about all. And he said, I just want to stand up here and thank everybody for this night. He said, this is the greatest night of my life. Greatest night. And he stood on the platform and said, son, just a minute. I said, how did you get in here tonight like this? How did you get in here? He said, that little man brought me back toward the back of the building with a fellow that couldn't weigh over 115 pounds with a black suit on, little fellow standing back there. He said, he brought me. I said, what do you mean? He said, I was standing in front of the drugstore. And he came by and said, let's go to church. I said, man, I've never gone to church in my life. He said, you come on, we'll hurt you. He said, I'm not going. And he said, that little fellow got me the hand and pulled me up the street. I let him pull me in here. And I said, I'm mad all the way through until God began to work in my heart. Now, wait a minute. That's what God does. And you've got to say, oh, God, I want you to use my life. I want to be my best for Christ. I want to give everything I have to my blessed Lord.
Amen.
Now, a Christian, compassion means to witness. Compassion, compassion. Compassion, compassion. And every day we ought to be walking on the street of compassion, down the street, witnessing and helping people along the way to come to our Savior. Compassion. You never know what you're doing. I preached the other night in down Louisiana, way down in there, way back in there, and had a good service. And I came to the end of my message and told about a motorcycle, about a fellow being killed on the motorcycle. Coming in from Dalton, Georgia. You said, maybe you've heard my story. And I told the story as I'd done before. And I gave an invitation. And boy, when I did, one fellow walked out of there and said, I only got to say right now. Married man. And he said, sitting about the fourth row back. And he said, yes, sir, I want to be saved. When it was all over, I discovered. And he had whispered to somebody, that story I told about the motorcycle got hold of his heart. He was riding a motorcycle. He had some dangerous accidents, and he said, that stirred my heart. I need to be saved. And he was saved. Now, wait a minute. You let God use your heart, use your life, and compassion, compassion, and pulling people to the loving Savior.
Amen.
That's the word I want you to hold tonight. Let God move upon you. Let God bless you and make you and give you what Jesus had, what we should all have, and walk daily with compassionate hearts and loving people and pointing people to our Savior and rejoicing their salvation and praising God for what He can do. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, have Your way with all of us now, we pray. Guide us to do Thy will. Bless now this great mission work. Bless Dr. Sisk, all of his helpers, all the missionaries, God at one. Now help us here tonight in this meeting to make some decisions. I want to make some decisions, Lord. I want to do more. I want my heart to be moved in a greater extent. I want to be right all of the time. Maybe there's someone here tonight who's been a little lean on compassion. They've gotten away from it. They haven't cared too much. They've been a little bit indifferent toward others and toward the condition of man. Tonight, speak to them. May this be a time of dedication for every heart. Lead and guide, we pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm not embarrassing anyone at all, but just to help you to maybe drive it to your heart. Tonight, maybe God has spoken to you about your own need to be compassionate. And you say, Brother Robertson, pray for me. I want compassion. I want to be what God wants me to be in my life. Would you slip your hand up high? Slip your hand way up high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless all of you. Father, give us, we pray, a Christ-like compassion. Lead us by the Holy Spirit and bless. And bless this great mission work for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Amen.